If you just turn in your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 3, we will continue our journey through the Laodicean church age, focusing on the messenger. Last week we brought a number of scriptures that actually prove that a messenger was supposed to come here in the end time. Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Revelation 10, 7, Matthew 17, a number of different scriptures that we just kind of brought in, and just showing that what we're believing here is right out of the scripture. Amen. It's not something far-fetched, but it's exactly what the scripture said would happen in this hour, and we're following that. Amen. Just the way God said it was supposed to be. So let's pick up here in Revelation 3, the Laodicean age, the age in which we live right now. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As men as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right, just recapping a few things that we've already gone over. We talk about this, the city of Laodicea, the city of Laodicea. Always remember, as I mentioned before, different people that you'll come in contact with when you're studying Revelation 2 and chapter 3 in these seven churches. Most people say that was seven churches that existed in that time period, and they are absolutely right. What we're saying is that they did exist, but they also had characteristics in them that would reflect in future ages. And some of the characteristics of the Laodicean age are reflected right here in our age. Some of those characteristics is that the church would be lukewarm. The other thing is that the church would be rich, increased with goods. If we don't see that, then we're missing a lot, because there's never been an age where you heard the term mega church, right? You've never heard those things before. And the reason they're mega is because they have a lot of money and a lot of people. The big thing nowadays with churches is they want to try to absorb and have as many campuses. That's a big word that people use. And actually the word mega is going away. I think mega would be considered for a church that might have about 3,000 members, 4,000 members. But if you're up in the 40,000, then they call themselves giga churches. So it just keeps going. You know, it just won't stop. But the scripture said that they would be rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. But unfortunately, they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And they don't know it. That's the sad part. And that's talking spiritually. That's the way the church is. Here in the city of Laodicea, there was the name itself had two meanings. The first meaning was people's rights. And again, representative of the age in which we live, this is a day where everybody has rights. This city was also one of the most politically important and financially flourishing cities in Asia Minor back there in that time. That's the way that city was. And again, financially flourishing. The church is financially flourishing today. The city was once called Diopolis, which was the city of Zeus in honor of their god. And as you see, again, I have that picture of Zeus with the lightning bolt in his hand. And he was referred to as the god of thunder the cloud gatherer. That's what Zeus was known as. In this age, we had the seven thunders of Revelation actually revealed. Revelation chapter 7, Revelation 10, they were revealed. Here, also in Laodicea, frequent earthquakes finally caused this complete abandonment. And Laodicea means justice of the people. And every attribute, ancient Laodicea is found reborn in the 20th century Laodicean age. So we see all the things that were there in that city representative here today. We brought this out when we're looking at this scripture. Revelation 3:14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans." Very important that we understand that that word angel, it says this person who is in this verse is called an angel in the King James Version, is not a heavenly being. Now, it's not just here in Revelation 3, but Revelation 2 and 3, it always says to the angel of the church, to the angel of the church, to the angel of the church. And anytime it was talking about to an angel of the church, it was talking about a man messenger. It was not talking about a heavenly being. And that's something that would kind of bring clarity, because most people look for some physical angel, but it was actually talking about a man messenger. Also here, the scripture told us in the days of the voice, that's Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger. The seventh messenger and the seventh angel, Revelation 3:14, are the same people, same person. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And again, I want to clarify, when Brother Branham was going about in healing and, you know, tremendous healing ministry, so many things that God did through his ministry, that was just to get the people's attention. But ultimately, God was trying to deliver a message to the people, and he had to use a voice to get that message to us, and he happened to use the voice of Brother Branham. Not that we exalt Brother Branham. We're going to get into that a little bit tonight. We don't exalt him. We don't worship him. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want people to understand, you know, when if we're looking for, you know, what the Lord said. And, I mean, he said it through his prophet. He always uses a prophet to say something. So we like to quote what the prophet said, not just what theologians said. But let's quote what the prophet said. Even back in the days of Moses and Joshua, Joshua quoted everything what Moses said. He quoted constantly, you know, "Remember what my servant Moses said." So we're not doing anything different than what was already done, you know, in scripture. We stay with what God revealed through his prophet. Also, just remember, the word always came by a prophet and always will. Revelation 10, 1 through 7 gives us that. And Amos 3, 6 through 7 says that surely the Lord will do nothing unless he reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And when we also say that this man, you know, this one refers to angel, that this was a man, the Bible actually gives us clarity on that as well. Galatians 4, verse 13 through 14, this is Paul speaking. And Paul says, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." So Paul uses that language that he was received as an angel of God. Even though he was a man in the flesh, he was still received as an angel of God. And same thing happened here with all the messengers that went through Revelation 2 and 3, all the way down to the seventh messenger that we find here in Revelation 3:14. Okay, some key statements from our reading. This messenger, talking about Revelation 3:14, the angel to the church of Laodicea, the messenger. We use the term angel, we use the term messenger, we use the term prophet. You know, all of that still refers to the same person. All right, those are titles for one individual, and his name happened to be William Branham. Says, "Now this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things." We'll hit that a little bit later on tonight. But the messenger of Malachi 4 was sent here. The messenger of Malachi 4, Revelation 10:7, again, both of those scriptures are talking about the very same person. Malachi being the last book of the Old Testament, Revelation being the last book of the New Testament, God puts a promise there for people to look at to show that in the end time, this messenger will be coming, okay? And he's going to do two things, and we want to focus on that a little bit later on. He's made this statement in our reading. This messenger is not Jesus Christ. He is not the Son of God. He is one of the brethren, a prophet, a messenger, a servant of God. Now, I think this is very important because, a lot of people got it mixed up a little bit, right? And they tried to put Brother Branham at a higher level than what he should have been. Amen. And then you had some that put him down at a lower level than what he should have been. We just got to keep it right in the middle road. He was a prophet sent to bring the word of the Lord to us. But again, we do not worship Brother Branham. We won't baptize in his name. We baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't pray in his name. We won't do none of that. We don't even sing songs here that don't glorify Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. We do believe God sent a prophet, but we do not worship the prophet. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So he is not Jesus Christ. He is not the Son of God. He is one of the brethren, a prophet, a messenger, a servant of God. And the other thing that I wanted to just kind of point out here, grab your Bibles real quick. I want to read that. Matthew 24, verse 23 through 26. I want to read that. In our reading, Brother Branham said something that struck me. I think I've read over it many a times, but he said, in the last days, there would be a seducing spirit in the land. And the seducing spirit in the land is to make people actually think Brother Branham is more than the prophet, right? It's a seducing spirit in the land. So you got it pulling both ways. One that's going to pull and say, well, he was just a good man. He wasn't a prophet. And then another one say, well, he's more than a prophet. But we need people that can get right in the middle of that, right? That's where we want to be, right in the middle. Because you got two sides pulling, but it's a seducing spirit pulling this way and a seducing spirit pulling that way. And we got to get right in the middle based on scripture, right? So Matthew 24 says this, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, that means anointed ones, false anointed ones, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Now, most people that want to deny that Brother Branham's a prophet, that's going to be one of the first scriptures they'll go to, right? Beware of false prophets. Understand something. If it's going to be false prophets, it has to be at least one real or one true before you can have false. It has to be at least one. If you're going to have a fake dollar, a fake money, there has to be at least some real money somewhere in order to make the fake money. Right. So what happens that people get so focused on avoiding the false that they're not looking for the truth. Amen. But we need to focus on looking for the truth and looking for it based on scripture, not based on anything else. It's got to be based on the word of God. Praise the Lord. All right. But the seducing spirit is Matthew 24. And the other thing I want you to catch there in verse 24, this is this is one scripture that I banked my soul on, right? I told some brothers this one time. They were telling me how they just could not have their people coming, around certain meeting that we was hosting. They just couldn't have their people coming because they didn't want the people to be, influenced in any way. I said, the Bible say the very elect cannot be deceived. And they say, yeah, you got a point there, but they didn't show up. Right. I mean, I bank my soul on that. I cannot be deceived if I'm very late. If somebody get up here talking some nonsense, I ain't deceived by none of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know how to shake your hand and God bless you and keep moving on. But I am not deceived. Praise the Lord. Some people only get one invite. Amen. But the thing that you can rest your soul on is that you will not be deceived. Matthew 24:24, God says, if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. It's not possible. Amen. All right. Another statement here that was made. Now, in this last day, there is to be a prophet, not a prophetess. I like that. Ain't no way we should be looking for a prophetess. Say, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, not a prophetess. Praise the Lord. So in the last day, there's to be a prophet, not a prophetess. All right. Another statement that was made here is this last age is going to go back to manifesting the pure word, bride. That means we will have the word once again as it was perfectly given and perfectly understood in the days of Paul. So what they had back in the days of Paul, the New Testament just being written, we're going to have the clear understanding just like they had. Praise the Lord for that. All right. The Antichrist spirit is identified with false prophets. And again, there's going to be that's something that we can look forward to, a lot of false prophets in this day. But they're actually, the Antichrist spirit is actually working through that. And there's a number of scriptures. We'll hit those a little bit later on. 1 John 4:1, 1 Timothy 4:1, Matthew 24:23-26. We just read 2 Peter 2:1-2, and 2 Timothy 4:3-4. The Antichrist spirit is identified there. The last statement here is, have you ever noticed how people who lead others astray bind them closely to themselves by fear? I could stop right there and preach a whole sermon on that, right? Anybody leading people astray going to always bind them by fear. And there's so many churches that do that. Y'all be surprised in this message how many churches that do that. They bind the people by fear. Amen. Now, as you can't be led by yourself. That's a Catholic spirit coming over into the message. Amen. Now, you're not supposed to do it that way. Don't bind anybody. You're not supposed to try to keep people, you know, if you leave, you're not under the blood no more. Where'd that come from? And then they force people to stay right there in that church. And then God done told them to move on, but fear stops them from going places. Amen. It's the truth anyhow. Right, I mean, and my God, you know, the whole church turns on you, you know, everybody against you. You see people in the grocery store, they're avoiding you. Like, what is this? Right? We used to wash feet together. Fear. They bind people by fear. We don't want that. We want people to be bound here by love. Amen. Constrained by love. Amen. I love my brother. I love my sisters. I just, you know, I can't get enough of them. Amen. Let it be love. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. When it's that way, I'ma just leave that alone, because you know it's a lot of things I could say right there, but it's not good to say it when you live streaming and things. You know, some things you just have to let go, but. But, you know, I've seen it. I've been a part of things where, you know, fear is what stops people. You know, people years ago would have made decisions to do things, but fear grips them. Fear. And overcoming that is big. But I tell you what, once you can get over it's like the scarecrow in the field of butterbeans. But I mean, I'm sorry, the bird in that field of butter beans, but he see that scarecrow. He's afraid to go beyond the scarecrow. He's like, man, this thing, I don't know what that thing gonna do. It keep moving as the wind move. I don't know what that thing gonna do to me. So he afraid to go. But when that bird finally realized this thing was here yesterday, it's in the same spot today. It's still in the same spot. I mean, it's for weeks in the same spot. I'm going on the other side of this scarecrow. They get there to that field and just have a jubilee. They had to overcome their fear first. And many people are bound and not able to have a true jubilee because of the fear. But you got to work through it yourself. Amen. You got to work through it yourself. You have your own testimony if you work through it yourself. All right. Let's go on. So remember that statement, this messenger of Malachi form, Revelation 10:7, is going to do two things. That was a key statement. And when we say Malachi 4, we're talking the scripture, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, not the prophetess, right? Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, again, his job is to turn our hearts. When we say turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers, we're talking about going back to the word of God. We are a church that believes it from Genesis to Revelation. We're not taking out the parts that we don't want to necessarily walk in. We if it says it in Deuteronomy, we believe it. Right. Amen. Whatever it says, we follow that to a T. We follow it. And that's what the prophet's job was, to get us to go back to that. Amen. That we're there now by God's grace. But he had two things that he was supposed to do. First, he says, the first thing, according to Malachi 4, he would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, turn our hearts back to the word of God. And the second thing that this messenger was supposed to do is he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It would be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Now, let me just stop there just for a moment. When I was coming up in the message, they would read this quote, and then they would just say he's supposed to, you know, reveal this, the seven thunders, and they just stop right there. But they didn't really put the emphasis on reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. So if anybody asks you, do you believe the thunders? Yes. Pull out your seals book and you can say, I believe the thunders, because the quote said that the thunders were contained in the seven seals. What they had us believing is that the thunders were seven virtues. That's not what the prophet said. The prophet said that the revelation of the seven thunders was contained in the seven seals, not just one seal. It was seven seals representing seven thunders. Praise the Lord. So people ask, Brother Jack, you believe in seven thunders? Exactly the way the prophet said it. I believe it. The thunders are contained in the seals. Not one quote, all of it. Praise the Lord. Amen. His job was to reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations, plural, not revelation. Revelations, plural, contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the heart of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Brother Branham said after he preached the seals, the Bible became a new Bible to him. And I tell you what, when you go through and you listen to it with an open heart, the Bible becomes a new Bible to you as well. And that's what begins to turn your heart back to this word. Amen. All right. A little further. Now, I got some quotes I want to read on this one. The prophet is not Jesus Christ, nor is he the Son of God. I put that picture there. That's the picture of Brother Branham. He's the prophet. But if you notice the halo that's over his head, it shows that he is under, I mean, that halo represents the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same light that came out when God said, let there be light at the beginning. That's the light that came out. It's the same light that led the children of Israel when they saw a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, according to the scripture. Also, Paul, on the road to Damascus, he saw the same light, and the light spoke to him and told him, I am Jesus. That light took a picture with the prophet, 1953, Houston Coliseum. Just this week, we have somebody that comes through and they do, they spray the church, pest control. And so he came, you know, the gentleman came in, he's been coming in for years. So I happened to be here yesterday in my office, and when he came through, and, you know, he's talking, and then he gets into my office. He say, I had a question. Yes. about this picture right here. And this picture that you see on the screen, he looked at it. He asked me, is that JD? I say, JD? I don't know JD. Who's JD? So he said, oh, it's a guy that worked here locally. And I guess JD must look something like Brother Branham. He said, I was just wondering. I said, no, that's not JD. I said, that's, William Branham. I said, God used his ministry in a mighty way. And I just began to tell him the whole story about how this picture was even taken. It was a man challenging Brother Branham as far as him being a divine healer, you know. And he said he didn't believe that God still healed the sick. He said, I don't believe that. He said, if you're a divine healer, say, bring somebody up here and heal them right now. Brother Branham said, I can't heal anybody. It's Jesus Christ that does the healing. So you, just like you can't save anybody, you just preach the gospel and they get saved. I just preach the gospel, they get faith, and they believe that they're going to get healed, and they get healed. So it's not me doing it. It's Christ that does it. So, you know, they were snapping pictures and all kind of stuff that night as this man was challenging the prophet. And while Brother Branham was standing there, only one picture that came out that night, only one came out. And this was the one that came out. All the other ones, nothing showed up on the film, but this is the only one that came out. And they said that this was the only supernatural being recorded by a camera, only one that they ever found. And they even took this and put it in the Smithsonian Museum. I saw it with my own eyes just a couple years ago. It's there at the Smithsonian, right? So this was, this is vindication that God was speaking through this man to us. So he said, yeah, the halo that's above his head. I say, wow, you identified as a halo. How did you? He was telling me an experience that he had of trying to save. He had a friend trying to save somebody's life, and they took a picture and put a newspaper. There was a halo over the person's head. I say, well, you know, you can tell that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, but he said, you know what? If I didn't live so far down in Jupiter, I'd probably try to come visit sometime. I said, just try to come once. Just once. I ain't really want to stick them too hard and say, now we got people coming from Palm Bay, from Clewiston, from, you know, Pompano. Jupiter ain't that far, right? I ain't want to stick them that hard, but I said, just come once. People recognize things, right? And you'd be surprised at, you know, questions that might be asked, but how you just, you know, you got to have information, be able to give it back to them. Now, again, this shows that he's under Christ, not over Christ. Under Christ. Praise the Lord. Some churches you go to, you'll see that they'll have that picture in the pulpit. And I have no problem with any church doing that. The only reason that I don't do it is that I try to keep all the attention on Christ. I don't want to throw anybody off. It's hard to explain that when you're just getting here. But I'm sitting down going like this, you know, teaching like this. It's very easy for me to explain. But your first time coming to the church and you see that, you'd be like, okay, what is that? I remember going to a church one time. I had no idea. They had a big chair sitting there. And I was trying to figure out what the big chair for. What is that big chair? Nobody sat in the big chair. I'm talking about a huge chair. I don't know what it was. You do things like that to throw people off. Amen. But I tell you what, you know, Brother Branham even said that, you know, even in your home, this is a good picture to have in your home. You know, just the angel of the Lord, just there. It's just a good picture to have. But you can explain to people, you know, what this is. You can witness to them with that. But the prophet is not Jesus. The prophet is not Jesus Christ, nor is he the Son of God. Statement he make here. To make me the person to make me the person of the Lord Jesus Christ would be an antichrist. See, for that person of the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high and will come again in great power and glory. But for his life that was in him being upon me and upon you who have him, it's exactly the truth. You become Christ. I like that. To make me the person of the Lord Jesus Christ would be an antichrist. See, for that person of the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high and will come again in great power and glory. But for his life that was in him being upon me and upon you who have him, it's exactly the truth. And you become Christ. I like that quote. Let's read a little bit here on this. Let's just go over to our Word document, and I'm going to read a few things here. Brother Branham was not Jesus. He was just a prophet that was used by Jesus. All right. It says this in our Church Age book on page 328. It says, I want to make one more comparison between the Laodicean prophet messenger and John, the prophet messenger who preceded Jesus' first coming. The people in John's day mistook him for the Messiah. John 1, verse 19 through 20. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Now this last day prophet messenger will have such power before the Lord that there will be those who mistake him for the Lord Jesus. Look at this. There will be a spirit in the world at the end time that will seduce some and make them believe this. Church, that's powerful. We got to fight that spirit, right? We got to fight that spirit, a spirit that want to make Brother Branham Christ. And actually, it even goes further than that. Now they even his children, you know, they try to make things out of. No. There's only one seventh messenger. His name was William Branham. Praise the Lord. There would be a spirit in the world at the end time that will seduce some and make them believe this. Listen. He's going to Matthew 24, verse 23 through 26. It says, for there shall arise a false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, but there, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. But don't you believe it. He is not Jesus Christ. He is not the Son of God. He is one of the brethren, a prophet, a messenger, a servant of God. He needs no greater honor bestowed upon him than that which John received when he was the voice that cried, I am not he, but he is coming after me. All right. Let's read these. So this question out of questions and answers. It says, please explain, people are saying Brother Branham is more than a man. He can create, and Jesus can look just like Brother Branham. Now let me, the person said this, whoever it might be, I don't know, but I'm your brother. See, Jesus is your savior. I cannot be your savior, for he has already saved you. Now you're so close to being the truth there, and yet so far from the truth. The person that told this person this, now, it looks to me like a woman's handwriting, very beautiful handwriting, and I'd say that was a woman's handwriting. Wouldn't you, Brother Caps, wouldn't you think that was a woman's handwriting, a pretty handwriting? I don't know who it is. See, now, Brother Branham, could Jesus look like you or you be Jesus or something like that? One sense of the word, that's exactly the truth. Another sense of the word is an antichrist. That's the difference between right and wrong. To make me the person of the Lord Jesus Christ would be an antichrist. See, for that person of the Lord, Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high and will come again in great power and glory. But for his life that was in him being upon me and upon you who have him, it's exactly the truth. And you become Christ. You remember my message on Messiahs? See, you are, the word Messiah means the anointed one. Now you are, if you have the Holy Spirit, you become the anointed one. See, then there's all kinds of anointed ones. Now watch. If it's a Bible anointed one, many of them are anointed. See, the whole thing is in such a conglomeration of every kind of mix up and of Satan with all his cunningness come in and impersonate it just to the dot, almost to the dot. There's only one way you can absolutely be sure. Check the word by word. Word by word, that's the only way you can. But to me, as a person, William Branham or any other man or woman to be the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, that is an error. But to be anointed with the Spirit, which brings his own person of his life into you. It goes on, it was so beautifully typed in Elijah and Elisha. When Elisha was taken up, the Elijah, the old prophet, going home, and he was tired and weary, and there was a chariot hooked across the river there. And he to take him up home with horses of fire. And did you notice then when Elijah and Elisha crossed the river, the school of the prophets was up there watching them. And Elijah took his mantle and, or struck the river. And when it did, it divided. And he went across and he said to the young prophet, what are you following me for? What do you want? What do you wish? He said that a double portion of your spirit come upon me, a double portion of that mighty prophet come upon me. He said, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I go, then it'll come upon you. So you can imagine how he watched the prophet. Now, in that day, that prophet was the word, for he was the manifestation of the word to the world. See, and he knew there had to be a greater ministry come because it required a greater thing. And when Jesus was here on earth, he was Elijah. These things that I do shall you do also. Greater than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Now, how are you going to do it? Watch him. Who is he? The word. See, watch him. And it goes on. Now, when it comes to creation of things, it's true. Jesus never right straight out created anything. Brought it into existence. He took a substance first. He took water, made wine. He took bread and made more bread. He took fish and made more fish. But he promised that greater things than this would be done. See, you see now why it's in a more evil day than it was when he was here. See, it's still him, but using your tabernacle. And y'all understand, Brother Branham, you know, when he spoke the squirrels into existence, that's what he's sharing there, right? Jesus never did that on, you know, at least it wasn't recorded in scripture. Now, there were a number of things that Jesus did that were not recorded in scripture, a number of things, but you can't find it necessarily written in Bible. But here, Christ inside his prophet actually created the squirrels. And I tell you what, if he did that in his prophet, I believe he can do the same thing in his bride. Praise the Lord. He says, you see, now it's a more evil day than it was when he was here. See, it's still him, but using your tabernacle. See, and this person that's in you, which is you were John Doe. You were born in a certain month and you were born under a certain star. You were born under a certain thing. And that has something to do with you. Certainly does. Now, just to kind of save some time, I put those dots there. There's more to that quote, but to save some time, I skipped down in this quote. We're picking up in paragraph 110 here. It says, now remember, we are not the word, but we are the word. Uh-huh. Now you get it. You got it. Jesus was not God, but he was God. He was a man, yet he was God. He could cry, and yet he could raise the dead. He could cry for a man being dead and raise him back up again. He was Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Manasseh. He was Jehovah all completely. He was Jehovah, and yet he was a man. He owned the earth and made the earth and had not a place to lay his head. He said, the birds that I made has got nests and I haven't got a place to lay my head. The foxes that I created has holes in the ground and I haven't even got one myself. Even to be buried in, that's right. He had to borrow somebody else's grave to be buried in. He created a womb that was in a woman. He had no womb to be born in. He had to borrow a womb. He created the earth and had not a place to be buried. He had to borrow a hole in the ground to be buried in. Joseph of Arimathea. See, they had to borrow a place, yet he was God. Proved that he was God. Now, you understand, we are Messiahs, but not that Jesus. He is our Father. We're just anointed with his spirit, and that's the reason. His life, and that gets people. See, if you don't set and think it through, it gets people to believe, well, this guy would be the Messiah. Sure, he is. This one over here could be. They both are. See, well, how can there be two of them? There's thousands of them. See, but you see, his life is separated on the day of Pentecost when that pillar of fire came down. It separated like tongues and set upon each of them. God divided himself among his people because the church and Christ is one, just as the husband and the wife is one. So Brother Branham is clearly telling us here that he was not Jesus, and there were many that tried to get him, you know, into that. There was I have it there, but I won't have time to read it here tonight. That quote that's coming up next, it was a quote in there that where Brother Branham was saying that he was a son of man revealing the son of man. Right. He wasn't the son of man. The son of man is Jesus Christ. But he was a son of man, which means he was a prophet revealing the son of man, the prophet of all prophets, which is the Lord Jesus. And there was another you can go back and listen to this. It was in Revelation chapter 5, part 1. You can just take that and write that down. Revelation chapter 5, part 1. It's a sermon that Brother Branham preached. And he was in that sermon. He just began to really talk about how the Spirit came in amongst the people. They were actually trying to make him say that he was Jesus. And it says, you know, if it would have been some critics that would have said that, he would have just laughed it off. He just, you know, just didn't think anything of it. He said, but when his own precious brothers that he knew that loved him and he loved them, say, when they start coming up saying things like, you know, are you Christ and all that, he said that actually just had him so tore up. He couldn't go hunting. He thought he might have an accident hunting. And he says, I couldn't take it. He said, I was coming off the field. He was determined to come off the field because people were trying to make him something that he wasn't. Now, I want you to get this. All the websites out there that are speaking against, you know, Brother Branham, they're coming against, there's two groups that they come against, two. One group that says that only after 1963, what he said was, thus saith the Lord. Only after 1963 was, thus saith the Lord. And the other group says that everything that he said was thus saith the Lord, and he never made any mistakes, never made any mistakes. So they come against those two groups. We don't say any of that. We believe he was a prophet from the day he was born to the day he died. And as far as making mistakes, I can point them out to you. And the reason I can point them out to you, because he was a man. Now, I don't know any man that has not made mistakes. There's only one person I know that ever lived on this earth that never made a mistake. His name was Jesus. That's why we don't worship Brother Branham. We worship Jesus Christ. But I can point out the mistakes to you. However, does that negate the fact that he was still the prophet? Nope. Abraham was a liar, but still considered a prophet. Amen. Right? So, but Brother Branham, you know, he said he had these precious brothers that would come to him and they tried to make him more. He said, look, I can't go on like that. But those brothers repented. And when they repented and said that they were sorry, then that released him to go on and continue to preach. Right. But this is 1961 that he's talking about that. I'm so glad they repented, because 1963, some great things happened. Amen. That's when the seven seals were revealed. So anytime that anybody tried to make Brother Branham greater than what he was, he put them in their place. So anybody today that try to make it greater, just go back to these quotes. Say, no. We're going to stay right with this right here. This is what he said. And he's not Jesus. He's not the Son of God. He's a prophet that was used by God. That's who he is. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. Very important to one of the statements that was made in our reading. One prophet messenger. According to Revelation 10:7, it says, when he, not they, not them, he, singular, shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God will be finished. So it could only be one prophet messenger. Now, it does not mean that God did not use other ministries. We don't have a problem saying that God used Billy Graham, and God used Oral Roberts, and God used Jack Cole. God used so many, A.E. Allen, I believe, Osborne, T.L. Osborne, you name them. God used so many of those ministries, many of them, right? William Seymour, when the Pentecost started, God used that man's ministry. But when we talk about a prophet who the word of the Lord comes to and they reveal the truth back to the people, only one sent. And that one happened to be William Branham. It could have been anybody else. It didn't. That's who God chose, right? We don't make that choice. That's who God chose. Just like when God chose Moses. Moses didn't choose that. God chose that, right? So whoever God chooses, we just follow what God, you know, when God anoints it, God speaks through him, we just follow that. But as far as messenger, there's only going to be one angel to the church of Laodicea. One angel, one messenger. Yes, many ministries used by God, but one person really with the true voice of God to bring correction and bring, you know, to turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. Now, I put there on this slide, we had, you know, right off the internet, somebody said God's end time messengers. That right there kind of throws it off a little bit. There's only going to be one messenger. Now, however, Brother Branham said God used the ministry of Billy Graham. He used the ministry of Oral Roberts, and he typed them, you know, to say it has never been since the times of Abraham that God used somebody with the last name ending in H-A-M. He said, in Abraham's day, there was an angel that stayed with Abraham, and then there were two angels that went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And Brother Branham said the angels that went down to Sodom and Gomorrah say that was modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and how God used, you know, somebody with the last name H-A-M. And he always typed Billy Graham in that, H-G-R-A-H-A-M. He always put Billy Graham's name there. He never put his own name there. Now, we as members of the bride had to be able to pick that up. G-R-A-H-A-M, but what about B-R-A-N-H-A-M? He never did that, but we could put that in. Other thing that you'll need to see there, G-R-A-H-A-M is six letters, which means number of man. But Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M, is seven letters, which means completion. So even in the name, God is identifying that this is my servant. Not only did he, you know, if you look at his name, he was given seven letters in his first name, seven letters in his middle name, seven letters in his last name. Perfect completion, right? Church is, I mean, only God does things like that. His parents were not even Christians in naming him something like that. But God knew. So there was only one messenger. That messenger was William Branham. He's the one to fulfill Malachi 4, the promise there, Revelation 10:7, Revelation 3:14. It's William Branham. The other ministries, God did use them. But when we talk about the restored truth, then it came through the prophet William Branham. He made the statement. It says, but I deny upon the infallible evidence of the word that there is more than one major prophet. Now, that's another Keith statement. You could have some minor prophets. You very well could have minor prophets, but when we talk one major prophet, even Brother Branham's son is what we call a minor prophet. There is many of people that have come into his presence, and he, you know, I know one situation where his brother was sitting behind him somewhere, and the brother was praying, and he was saying, Lord, you know, just for a little consolation, just have him turn around and have brother Joseph just turn around and say something to me. Just have him say something to me. You know, Lord, just as a confirmation, a consolation for me. And say, Brother Joseph, turn around and say, you satisfied? Turn back around and kept doing what he was doing. That's prophet, right? I mean, and there's been many occasions where God has used Brother Joseph, and you cannot take that away, right? God has used him. However, when we talk about the word being restored, it came through his daddy. Came through his daddy. That's where it stopped at. And don't get me wrong. I think there could be, you know, God could raise up somebody right here that can use him as a prophet. But when you talk about a major prophet, oh my. Major prophet, there's only one. And that's the one that we're following. Praise the Lord. All right. I deny upon the infallible evidence of the word that there is more than one major prophet, messenger, who will reveal the mysteries as contained in the word, and who has the ministry to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. So Brother Branham had that particular ministry. We believe that. I want to read the quote that went along with that statement out of your Church Age book. Okay. Says, before we close this section on the messenger of the Laodicean age, I'm at page 328, paragraph 3 in your Church Age book. Before we close this section on the messenger of the Laodicean age, we must seriously consider these two thoughts. First, this age will have one prophet messenger. Revelation 10:7 says, when he, singular, shall begin to sound, there has never been an age where God gave his people two major prophets at one time. He gave Enoch alone. He gave Noah alone. He gave Moses. Now, I got to inject these things. This quote right here would set some people free if they would hold on to it. There is a statement that Brother Branham made And again, this is why I say there's things that I could say, you know, he made that statement, and wherever he made a mistake, he would admit it. If it was pointed out to him, he would admit it. But there was a statement that Brother Branham made multiple times in his ministry. He said that Enoch was there listening to Noah preach, or Noah was there listening to Enoch preach, or something like that. Noah was there listening to Enoch preach. But when you really look at it from scripture standpoint, Enoch had already died before, I think, Noah was even born, from a scriptural standpoint. All right. Here's a quote where Brother Branham actually just clears that up. Right. He says, Enoch was alone. He says, Noah was alone. Right. Now, it depends on which one you want to feed on. Remember, there's a seducing spirit in the land to try to pull people away from this word. Right. But here's a quote that actually sets people free if they want to receive it. Because he just said it here. Enoch was alone. Noah was alone. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, some would say, well, he still said it after that. 1965, he still said it. Now, I'll stay with this quote right here. And the other thing, again, I'm not focusing on, you know, Brother Branham even said it. I know he said it, I think, twice. One time in the church, in the Seven Seals, somebody was asking a question, did you mean 700 or did you mean 7,000? He said, please stick with your Bible. So if he said it there, I can apply that same mindset to anything that might come up as a question in scripture, just stay with the Bible. Praise the Lord. So the prophet is supposed to turn you back to the Bible. Church is real easy. We make it complicated, but it's real easy. Our hearts are supposed to go back to the Word. Now, again, if you are a real Bible reader, there's some things you're going to find in your Bible that's going to send you for a loop if you're a Bible reader. But my advice to you, stay with your Bible. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. God does that intentionally because it's a seducing spirit in the land. And if people can be shook, they will be. There's something to shake them off. But this right here, I'm you know, it's been vindicated. Let's go on. It says, there's never been an age where God gave his people two major prophets at one time. He gave Enoch alone. He gave Noah alone. He gave Moses. He alone had the word through. Though others prophesied, John the Baptist came alone. Now, in this last day, there's to be a prophet, not a prophetess. Though in this age there are more women purporting to give God's revelation than men. And the infallible word says that he, the prophet, will reveal the mysteries to the end time people and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. God never called a woman to preach. So it's, you know, we already know that that's against the word of God. There are those who say that God's people are going to come together through a collective revelation. I challenge that statement as a bald, invalid assumption in the face of Revelation 10:7. Now, I do not deny that people will prophesy in this last age, and their ministries can and will be correct. I do not deny that there will be prophets, even as in the days of Paul, when there was one Agabus, a prophet, who prophesied of a famine. I agree that is so, but I deny upon the infallible evidence of the word that there is more than one major prophet messenger who will reveal the mysteries as contained in the word, and who has the ministry to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Thus saith the Lord, by his unfailing word stands and shall stand and be vindicated. There is one prophet messenger to this age. On the basis of human behavior alone, anyone knows that where there are many people, there is even divided opinion on lesser points of a major doctrine, which they all hold together. Who then will have the power of infallibility, which is to be restored in this last age? For this last age is going to go back to the manifesting the pure word bride. That means we will have the word once again as it was perfectly given and perfectly understood in the days of Paul. I will tell you who will have it. It will be a prophet as thoroughly vindicated, or even more thoroughly vindicated than was any prophet in all the ages from Enoch to this day, because this man will of necessity have the capstone prophetic ministry, and God will show him forth. He won't need to speak for himself. God will speak for him by the voice of the sign. Amen. Now you can see Brother Branham's actually preaching this to the church, but not even identifying himself as that messenger. You had to be able to read between the lines to see that it was him. Praise the Lord. Showing that he never brought attention to himself. His attention was, he was giving all the attention to the Lord Jesus. Now, we have to beware of false prophets, for they are ravening wolves. And Brother Branham gave us a number of scriptures here. You know, this seducing spirit that's in the land today, there are some scriptures that we must, you know, be watching out. The one is 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Remember, yes, there are going to be false prophets, but in order to have a false, there has to be at least one real prophet. You know, in the days of Moses, when Moses went down to Egypt, Jannes and Jambres was there. They were false prophets, right? But Moses was a true prophet. Amen. So, yes, there were false prophets, but there was also one true prophet. And we're saying Brother Branham was a true prophet, and there, even though there will be false prophets. Another scripture that he told us to be watchful of is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. Says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, which is destructive ways. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. As people are pulling away from this message nowadays, there, you know, people that say they've followed it for 40 years, now they're pulling away. You see pictures of these same people that were following for years, and they go straight to the world. They can't even live holy anymore, right? I mean, the holiness is completely gone. They changed the way that they dress, everything. Brother Branham didn't make that up when he came. That was in the Bible before we got here. Before he got here, that was already in the Bible. He just shined light back on it so that we can come back in line with what God said. But there's people that, I mean, well, praise the Lord. I think people always wanted to drink. They were looking for a reason to get out there and drink. Amen. I think that was always in them. They wanted to drink. They wanted to smoke. They wanted to do all those things. So they were looking for a reason, and they blame it on the message. The message ain't got nothing to do with it. That was just the spirit that was in you that was craving for those things. The women wanted to wear pants. They wanted to do all those things. They wanted to wear makeup. They wanted to do that. That was already in them, right? Praise the Lord. The men wanted to walk around in shorts. They wanted to do that. So as soon as they had the opportunity, they went, that's what they go to. Amen. I mean, I know Pentecostal people that won't even do that. Pentecostal people. Even some Baptist people that won't do that. Amen. Truth anyhow. Here's another one. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want to hear it. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. People have done that in this time. Here's another one, 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Remember, it's going to be seducing spirits, according to Matthew 24, released in this hour. And some have departed from the faith, giving heed to those seducing spirits. Now, let me tell you something. Even though this has occurred, I refuse to leave people in that condition. I will pray. I will pray and keep praying that God will restore these people. Because all it is a spirit that the people came under. And if they can, and just like you can get free from any other spirit, you can get free from a seducing spirit. So don't stop praying for people. You might hear things about them. Don't kick them to the side. Pray for the people that God will set them free. That's our job. That's our responsibility. Let's keep praying. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, so here's our last slide here. Just remember this. The very elect cannot be fooled. Matthew 24:24 tells you that you cannot be fooled if you're very elect. The Bible says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Being elected, we know that we can't be deceived. So if this message was wrong, then God would get truth to us because we're elected. Amen. But I believe God's already brought truth. That's why I'm walking in it. And I tell people like this, if this ain't that, I'm going to hold on to this until that come. Because I ain't seen nothing better in all my days. And I done been a lot of places. I done been the Baptist. I done had, we done been a part of it. We were the good choir. Right? You wait, go to the Baptist church, they always have a real good choir. We were that choir. We sung on television. We did all that, right? But we also saw people couldn't live right. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been a part of the Pentecostal movement and some of the things there too. We saw the holiness that was there, but it's unholy today. It's not the same as it was when I was coming up, right? We've seen a lot of these things, you know, come and go. But this word that has been given, amen, is something that has gone beyond anything I've heard in the past. So I'm staying right here with this word because I ain't seen nothing better. God has already vindicated it, and all we got to do is just keep preaching it. Amen. Statement that he made here, if you are still in any doubt about this, ask God by his Spirit to fill you and lead you. For the very elect can't be fooled. So if you people will go to the websites and they'll just look at all the websites and what other people have to say. You're gonna believe somebody. You can either believe what other people have to say or you can believe what Brother Branham had to say. But you're gonna believe somebody, right? When I first came to this message, the first thing that I remember reading was a book on Brother Branham's life story. And when I read that man's life story, I said, God is certainly with this man. From his birth all the way to his death, God was with that man. God showed different experiences that he had. You knew God was with this man. But, we thank God for that. And I think God was using him, you know, in order to get the word to us. Now, you know, once my spiritual ears become open, then I could hear what he had to say. And I'm going to tell you, when you listen to the tapes, it ain't like when I come up and I listen to the preacher, man, we waited for that preacher to grab hold of his ear. And when he grabbed hold of his ear, you knew he was coming home and the organ player got behind him. And boy, they was, we knew he was in church. But when you start listening to the prophet, you didn't get none of that. None of that. It was just straight words. Oh my. But at the end of a sermon, you start listening to that discernment, you say, only God can do something like that. This man had never been to this city before, and he go from city to city doing the same exact thing. Only Christ can do something like that. That was not him. That was God that anointed him. We didn't come to this message for entertainment. We came to this message for truth. The Bible said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The very elect can be fooled. Did you get that? There isn't any man can fool you. Paul could not fool any elect. Had he been wrong in that first Ephesian age, the elect there could not be fooled, for they tried the false apostles and prophets and found them to be liars and put them out. Hallelujah. His sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Amen. I believe it. Now, if you're going to try the prophets and you're going to try the apostles or whoever, try them by the word. Try every spirit, and the way you try it is by the word. I've given scripture after scripture, you know, to prove that this is a ministry that we're supposed to expect in this day, this last day, this before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We know that judgment is soon to come, but before the great and terrible day of the Lord, God said he was going to send Elijah the prophet. And I always ask people this. I say, if Brother Branham was not Elijah, tell me who is. And you cannot give me a prophetess. That's not going to work. That's off the scripture because it said Elijah the prophet, right? And we're not looking for Elijah himself. We're looking for the spirit of Elijah to be upon somebody just like it was upon John. Amen. So if Brother Branham was not that Elijah, then tell us who the Elijah was. That's all. And I think anybody that's really, you know, reasonably looking for it based on scripture, I think they'll have to come to the conclusion that this was the man. This was the man that God used to fulfill these scriptures. Praise the Lord. He didn't even put himself there, but we are, because we can see his ministry all through the word. Next week, we'll be reading pages 331 through 338 in our church age book, and we'll be moving to the salutation, amen, of this age, the salutation of this age. But thank God, you know, for these truths that have been brought to us. Let's pray. Father, we're certainly grateful for your word. We realize that, again, flesh and blood can't reveal these things to us. It didn't come to us through the churches that we were in. That's not how we came to this. Somehow, somebody that you had us come in contact with that was holding to this truth. And God, as they would hold to it, they began to share certain things with us. And from sharing that, it quickened something, a seed that was down on the inside. And Lord, as that seed was quickened, we didn't know why we were being drawn to it. We had never even heard these things before, but we were being drawn to it by the grace of God. And Father, now that we have it, we realize that there's a seducing spirit in this land to try to pull us away from what we got. But God, help us to hold to it. And God, tonight, and there's been many times where I've brought out that there's so many walking away, but God, I don't want to just criticize them. I want to pray that you would restore, because it's a seducing spirit in the land causing people to do that. They're missing what you're doing. God, I pray that you would just you help your people to see truth. Help them to see it according to the word of God, not according to what somebody said. Help them, God, to go back to the scripture for themselves and see how these things align. We pray, God, that opportunities that we would have to share truth with others, that we wouldn't shrink from it, but Lord, we'd be ready to share this faith. And God, know when and where to share it. I thank you, God, on yesterday that you gave an opportunity just to share, plant a seed there with a man that comes into this church quite often. And just, Lord, here he is trying to just take care of the pests. But God, he had a question, and just being there, maybe a seed planted, God, that might cause him to just come to church just one time. And I pray something to be spoken, God, that would really strike the seed in the heart, that it would come forth. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.